This morning, we're going to talk about threshing floors. I feel ya. What is a threshing floor? So threshing floors were used by farmers to harvest grain. The method involved crushing the kernels, sifting, and separating the wheat from the chaff, which was the waste. Threshing floors were circular in motion, made of stone or packed earth, and they were located usually on hilltops or mountains to utilize the wind. They were worked by oxen or animals walking over the grain to crush it. And the final step in the process was winnowing, where the farmers would toss the grain into the air, the wind would carry away the waste, the chaff, and the grain would fall to the ground. The grain had substance, and it would fall to the ground. So as with other stories in the Bible, threshing floors carry spiritual significance for our lives today. And as we're in the season of Lent and trying to draw near to God, I thought this just struck me on a whole other level. So there's moments in our lives where God helps us let go of what holds us back and prepares us for what he has in store for us. But in this case, I'm not talking about the ambitious plans God has for us. Rather, today our focus is on becoming and all the good things that God has planned for us in our journey toward becoming all that God created us to be. So our scripture reference today is 1 Chronicles chapter 21, but we'll break it up. It's okay. So there's moments in our walk where God brings us to threshing floor moments. And these are challenging moments, challenging circumstances, moments where we feel pulled and pushed and stretched, where we're under so much pressure, we're squeezed from every side. And these moments, our faith can be challenged. These moments in my life, where I'm squeezed, it exposes aspects of my heart where God may be presenting me with opportunities for growth. The Charlotte before Jesus comes out after Jesus sometimes. So that's the journey that we're all on, really. So God allows me to see what surfaces in my heart during the stressful moments, to see those moments and see that they don't always reflect the love and the character of Jesus. So we're going to look at three beautiful aspects of what threshing floor moments can do for us in our walk with God. So first, the threshing floor shows us our heart, kind of exposes what is dormant. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 through 8. It starts off, Satan, the adversary, stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. And as we know, Satan is a fallen angel. He roams around this world with hopes of influencing us. He tries to distract us. His goal is to conform us to this world and adapt this world's way of thinking, this world's way of reacting. And we'll see later that that's exactly what Satan was trying to do with Israel all these years. But on this particular day, Satan stood up against Israel and prompted David to take a census. How could Satan prompt David? David, the Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. But David wasn't perfect. And David was a man after God's own heart because of how David responded to God when God made David aware of his maybe sin or disobedience. But I think David was easily provoked this particular day because David was bored. He was bored. There was no war. Israel was at peace, and David was a warrior. So he didn't have a battle that he was planning or raging. He was bored. So he didn't know what to do with himself. Now, when we don't know what to do with ourselves, it gets tricky, right? But thank God we have this church, right? David could have been shopping for the food pantry. He could have been loading the bags for the food pantry. You know, I mean, he could have been praying for the church or for the orphanage and schools that we support in the Dominican Republic or preparing for his Sunday school lesson. You know, teaching the kids. Thank you, Sunday school teachers. He could have been studying his Bible for Bible study. Wednesdays, 7 in the morning and 10 at... ten in the morning. And not 10 o'clock at night either. And he could have been streaming Christian music on his favorite streaming channel and dancing it out with Jesus. Now, there's a lot of things David could have been doing, right? But he wasn't. He was roaming around his castle, and he was looking around, and things looked pretty good. And he begins to wonder, how big am I? Look at all this. How big am I? How strong is my army? How strong is my military? So David calls for a census to measure his strength. They weren't at war. God didn't ask him to do it. He was just curious. So David goes to Joab, the commander of his army, and instructs Joab to organize men and take a census. And Joab was not an upright guy, y'all. He was compromised. He was sketchy. But in verse 3, Joab pushes back and says, "You want me to take a census?" He tried to talk some sense into David. But David was not listening to Joab's warning. Joab tries to talk to David, but David had already made his mind up. He wanted a census. So Joab left and went throughout all Israel counting people. Joab returned to Jerusalem and gave the numbers of the people to David. And then in verse 7, we find God was not pleased with David's act of pride and self-reliance, and he struck Israel. And I just want to put a little pin here for a second. I want to look at this just briefly, because these words, "God struck Israel," can sound so harsh. And if we just look at this passage, we could easily draw a conclusion that indeed, God sounds harsh. But we have to look at the backstory when we find scriptures like this. We have to look at the backstory to understand God's history with Israel. And God's history with Israel was long. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but you could pretty much pick Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Judges, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. I mean, and you'll get the whole story of Israel's struggle with wanting to serve God and wanting to blend in with other nations. And the other nations that they're blending in with served multiple gods. They didn't accept God as their God. They had gods for fertility and gods for the moon and the sun and the water and the rain. And, you know, it took God completely out of the picture. Okay? They had an identity problem. They were prone to idolatry. They served two gods. Well, they served God and then the other gods. They wanted to keep God on hand to bail them out. All the while, they were worshiping and sacrificing to the gods of other nations. They wanted to look and act like everyone else. They wanted to fit in, but God was calling them to be set apart. God is calling us to be set apart, to be in the world, but be an example. God wanted Israel to be an example for other nations to follow. So picking back up from verse 7, God struck Israel, but then David's eyes were open. Then he realized the cost of what he had done. Then David said to God, "I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beg you, take away the wickedness and the guilt of your servant, for I have acted foolishly." David's eyes were open and he's faced with the reality of his choice. David had drifted into self-reliance. So the threshing floor then becomes a place of surrender. First Chronicles, now we're looking at verses 13 through 17. David, realizing he had sinned, and now he's about to find out or understand that obedience has a cost, because God gave David three choices, and he allowed him to choose the consequence of his sin. So God said to David, choose for yourself 3 years of famine in the land, 3 months of being devoured by the sword of your enemy, or 3 days of facing the sword of the Lord. So David in verse 13 says, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercies are great. But do not let me fall in the hands of man. So David chose 3 days of God's plagues because David understood the mercies of God. So God allowed the angel to strike Israel with plagues, and 70,000 men died. In verse 15, God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying it, the Lord looked and relented. God said to the angel, "It is enough. Now remove your hand of judgment." And at this time, just so happens, at this time, the angel was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. Verse 16, then David raised his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Out of concern for Jerusalem, David and the elders, covered in sackcloth, fell on their faces before God and began to intercede and pray for Israel. David said to God, "Is it not I who commanded the people to be counted? I am the one who has sinned and done evil. But as for these sheep, the people of Israel, what have they done? O Lord my God, let your hand be against me, but not against your people, that they should be plagued." And a couple of big things happened right there. David took responsibility for his actions. It is I who have committed the sin. And he surrenders to God's correction. Let me fall into the hands of God. And David interceded for Israel. He cried out to God on behalf of Israel. David was no longer concerned about his own welfare. He sought mercy for God's people. The threshing floor represents a place of repentance, of letting go and saying yes to God. And this is where we stop negotiating with God. We stop defending old behaviors. Where we stop trying to manage or control our own transformation and just let God have his way in our hearts. The threshing floor is where self-sufficiency dies. It's a time when our eyes are finally opened and we're faced with our own hearts. And we begin to see I begin to see in myself attitudes and behaviors I've tolerated in my life because I felt justified. And that they do not reflect the character of Jesus. Old wounds that had shaped me, old identities. And I'm just, I'm going to be honest here and tell you, because confession is good for the soul. So many years I was content with my walk with God. I was on my way to heaven, and I wasn't at all concerned with growing closer to God. I was willing to follow God just enough to save me from hell, but not too much. I didn't want God disrupting my life. I acted like the Israelites. So God wants to show us these areas in our lives so that he can take them and make us whole and bring us joy, blessed joy, peace, good things, all the things that Jesus died for us to have. God exposes our hearts so that he can restore our hearts. It's not condemnation at all. It's love. And the last thing the threshing floor is, it's a time to return to God. It's the place of returning to God. Looking at now verses 18 through 28, and David did return to God on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, and he built an altar there. In verse 21, David came to Ornan, and Ornan looked and saw him coming and went out from the threshing floor. Ornan bowed down below David with his face to the ground. Verse 22, David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of this threshing floor so that I may build an altar on it to the Lord. You shall charge me the full price so that the plague may be averted or stopped from the people." Ornan said to David, "Take it for yourself. Let my lord the king do what is good in his eyes. See, I give it all." But King David said to Ornan, "No, I must pay you the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord. I will not offer a burnt offering, which costs me nothing." What David is saying here is, I refuse to give back to God something easy, convenient, something that costs me nothing. If it costs you nothing, it's not a sacrifice. And if it's not a sacrifice, it won't change you. It won't change you. So David paid Ornan the full price for the site. Then David built an altar to the Lord there and presented burnt offerings and peace offerings. And David called on the name of the Lord. And God answered David with fire from heaven on the altar of David's sacrifice. God provided the match to light the altar of David's sacrifice. That's just so, I love that. Here, David. Let me light that for you. Then God commanded the angel to put his sword back into his sheath, and God stopped the plagues. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, he sacrificed there. Ornan's threshing floor became an altar. David's place of repentance became the place where God began the process of restoration. This also became the place where Solomon built the temple of the Lord, the temple that would hold the presence of the Lord. Today, God builds his temple and his presence in our lives. Not on our strength, not because we're good, but because of our surrender. What is my offering to God? Have I given God all of my heart? Or are there pieces that I'm holding back? You can trust God with all the pieces of your heart that you're protecting. God wants to love every piece of your heart today. We sang a song last week and the chorus has been in my heart. And I know it's not much. I have nothing left fit for a king. Except for a heart singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's all God wants. Just as we are today, with all the contents of your heart, with all our missing pieces, God wants to have it and love you through it all.